Therefore, let's unite our hearts in prayer. Lord, we bow our hearts in thanksgiving unto thee, Lord, that thou hast given us this day and has led us safely through it, thou hast watched over us, O Lord, and has brought us to this hour where we could pause from all of the hustle and the bustle of this life and, Lord, have this hour where we could sit as a brotherhood, as a body of believers in thee, O Lord, and with our children and with our friends, O Lord, to meditate upon thy word. We pray for thy holy presence this evening, that we would feel thy presence, that thou would reveal thyself through thy word, that each one of us, Lord, would be uplifted and encouraged in this evening to a holy living and to come into that perfect image of thee, O Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. There was for this evening's meditation, for our reading, a desire that we would turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 4. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 4, I'd like to begin with verse number 23 to 31. Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image, or the likeness of anything, which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. When thou shalt beget children and children's children, and ye shall have remained long in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves, and make a graven image, or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God to provoke him to anger. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that ye shall soon utterly perish from off that land whereunto ye go over Jordan to possess it. Ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. And there ye shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shall be obedient unto his voice. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. May God bless our reading and there was the chapter that we have before us is the portion of the scripture that we have read is Moses, who he explains to the children of Israel that he will not be able to cross over into the promised land that was promised unto the children of Israel. It was because of them and his reaction to what they were, what they had done that God told him that you're going to die on this side and you will not enter in. And so we know that Moses was the lawgiver. He gave the law of God. It was through Moses that was given to the children of Israel. But here, before they are to cross over, we see Moses actually becoming a prophet as he talks of the things that they actually will do. And he speaks to a people that has backslidden and what they are to do when they backslide. And so we have to really ask ourselves, what state are we in right now? Can we all say that we have not backslid, that we are in a position where we are right now in our spiritual walk of in our spiritual walk in this life? Where are we? Are we where we were when we were first taken up, when we had repented of our sins and given our heart and our life to our Lord, where He was really the pinnacle, enthroned in our hearts, where He was everything to us? We are either there, or we are what Jesus said to the church in Ephesus, where He says, "I have something against you, that you have left your first love." Now, where are we in leaving that first love? We could say, well, if this is where we started, if this is where our first love is, if I'm only here and someone else is over here, way further, I'm still good, I'm better. But to backslide means that we have taken something else and placed them above Jesus. That's a backsliding. So something has taken the place. And that's why Jesus told the church in Ephesus, "You have left your first love." Something else, something that is lesser than I am, has taken my place. You've backslidden. And so we read here in this chapter of God who, or Moses here, who is talking to the children of Israel. And we have to think of the most beautiful verse here that we can read is verse number 29, where He tells them, "If from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find Him." That is an amazing description of who God is. Think about this. They've left Him. And He says, from thence, if from thence, from where? From where you've gone, away from God. From there, He says, if you seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find Him. How? If you seek Him with all of thy heart, and with all thy soul. What is the first commandment? What is the first law that God had given through Moses unto the nation of Israel? Love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, thy heart, and thy soul. And He said, thou shalt put no other gods before me. And so this portion of Scripture is really speaking of idolatry, which is forbidden. And even as the brother prayed, as he led us in prayer here, he mentioned that we don't have the graven images that we're going to bow before. But we can't say that we have no idolatry. Because anything that is less than God, and which is everything, and if anything that we have that is less than God, and we put it in front of God, that becomes, he tells us here, he says in verse 25, he said, when you shall corrupt yourselves, that corruption takes place with anything that is less than God that comes before God. And we know that everything is less than God. And what can that be? And so once we, he says, and we shall corrupt yourselves and make a graven image. So we say, okay, are we corrupting ourselves by making a graven image? No. We've corrupted ourselves. And then that corruption becomes the graven image. And so what is that? What is it? It's whatever it is that takes the place of God, that is greater than God. We're going to say, well, there's nothing greater. Well, have we backslidden? Or are we in our first love? If we are in our first love, where God is everything to me, there's nothing that is pulling me away from Him. I have not stepped down to something less than God. I love Him with all my heart, my soul, my strength, everything I have. He is everything to me. And if so, I have not corrupted myself. I have no graven images. But if I take up something, and it could be anything, and this is where we can lose sight of, dear ones, of the holiness of God. And when we take something, it can be, you know, it's easy to name things like drunkenness. If alcohol becomes that which I corrupt myself with, in that corruption now, when I'm returning to that which I've corrupted myself with, that is my graven image. And it could be a relationship. It could be a relationship that I don't want to get out of, that has now become more meaningful to me than God Himself. Because I don't want to get out of that. And so and there's all kinds of things that we corrupt ourselves with that become these graven images. And who do we turn to? Who do we turn to when we get into any kind of trouble? In the book of Judges, chapter 10, in verse 13, he says, "Yet ye have forsaken me," he says, "and you've served other gods." So, is this only applicable to the children of Israel? No, it's applicable to me and you today. It's applicable to us. When we have forsaken Him and something else has taken His place, and we were not in our first love, he says, we serving other gods. These are the graven images that we are now serving. We corrupted ourselves with those things. Those are the things that we return to. Those are the things that are more meaningful to me than God Himself. And it says, "And wherefore I will deliver you no more," God says. He says, "Go and cry unto the gods which you have chosen." You have chosen those things to mean more to you than I do. Now go to those things. Go to them. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation. What is it that we are turning to that is robbing us of our first love? God says, go to those things then in your tribulation. Go find your solace in those things. Find your redemption in that. There's nothing there. Of course, God isn't saying go for those things. What he's using his, sarcasm to show us how meaningless the things are that we put in front of Him. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard." Why? Lest at any time, brothers and sisters and dear friends, at any time, if we are not giving an earnest heed to the things that we have heard, anytime, we are vulnerable, lest at any time we should let them slip. There's the backsliding. We're slipping away, letting go of the things that we have heard, the things that are life and light, that give peace and joy. We let those things slip, and the backsliding begins. Now, what is your distance away from God? Does it matter? There's a distance. There is a distance. God didn't create that distance. You and I do. We create the distance from God because we are the ones that turn away from Him. God never reconciles Himself to us. We have to be reconciled to Him because He never leaves us. And so, in this chapter here, he says, "Take heed unto yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which He made with you." And you make a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. It could be things that look innocent, like even sports. You know, we have the Super Bowl is coming on Sunday. It's one of the biggest sporting events in the world. It's huge. Are we going to get wrapped up in that and forsake the assembly? Well, what have we put in front of God then? We can say, well, it doesn't. It's just, you know, just staying to watch. If we take anything and we forsake coming to church because of that, on a Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon, you want to take it easy. I need my rest. You're placing yourself in front of God. I'm not talking about if we're sick, we don't feel good, things like that, but if we just want to relax at home and forsake coming to church, why? Can we still claim that we are in that first love where God is everything to me? He says, "Take heed unto yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which He made with you." He said, "I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that ye shall soon utterly perish off the land, from off the land whereunto you go over Jordan to possess it." It's exactly what happened to them. But let's look at what happened to Judas. Judas placed the 30 pieces of silver as something greater than his Christ. And he never spent one piece of silver. When the impact of what he did hit him, he went scurrying back. It's innocent blood. And they said, "What is that to us? You got your money." And he throws it down. He didn't spend a piece of silver. But that was so precious to him that he was going to forsake his God. Now, we might not think that we're Judases, but to forsake God means to something else has taken his place above him, where his law is not as dear to me as this or that is. You know, and again, insert whatever it is that we struggle with. But the portion of scripture here he said, "The Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and you shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. And there ye shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell." And we know this is exactly what happened. That Israel was taken into bondage. Babylon had taken them. And it was there that they were rid of their idolatry. It took 70 years. for the nation to be rid of the idolatry that it let itself get into. And so he says, from there, where you have backslidden, from there, where you've been taken into bondage, from there, he says. And so this is for us today as it was for Israel then. From there where you have fallen, from there where you have placed something as ahead of your God, from there where you fell. And don't comfort yourself. Let's not comfort ourselves with the fact that we say, well, we didn't go as far as the prodigal son to the place where he's feeding the swine and eating the swine, that he's got such a long way to come back. The short distance away that we would deem a short distance is a distance that must be made up here while we have life. You can't make it up when you're dead. The distance has to, we have to be reconciled to our God now. So he says, from where you are, the place you've fallen, from there, if you will seek the Lord thy God, listen to this. Listen to who God is. The God that you've rejected, the God that you've spit upon, the God that you said, you're not worthy of my time, you're not worthy of my heart, you're not worthy of my life. That God says, you will find him. This chapter is all about love. God is love. You will find him. Not you may, maybe you will find him. If you seek him with all of your heart. If you seek him with all of your heart. Not just a little bit. Don't come to church and pretend you're a Christian. We could have fallen. We could have backslidden, any one of us. But we keep the externals of religion. We come, we show ourselves, I tithe, I can give to the poor, I can do this, I can do all those things. That Paul wrote such a breathtaking chapter in Corinthians 13 that leaves us gasping for breath whenever we read it. We see who God is and how far we can be from him. We keep the externals as a comfort. As a comfort. I'm here. I didn't go far. Yeah, maybe I slid a little bit. But in due time, I'm going to come back. When? When is the plan? When do you plan to come back to God, my dear friend? When do you and I, brothers and sisters, plan to be reconciled where we've fallen and slidden back? He says, from there where you are. Don't forget, he says, take heed lest you forget the covenant of the Lord thy God. If you forget it, when are you going to close that gap? When are you ever going to be reconciled if you've forgotten it? What will it take? Is it going to be, something that has to take place for you to be jarred into remembering this covenant? What does it take? Just remember. Remember the covenant. And if you want to seek him, he says, you will find him. If you seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. That is such a promise that brothers and sisters and dear friends should give every one of us a pause to consider how great our God is. That despite our failings and leaving him, some further than others, some never open the doors of the church again. They're quite content in serving the graven images that their heart has carved out for them and never come back. But God is there. He said, when thou art in tribulation, and all these things are upon thee, even in the latter days, If through all of this, if you turn, he says, to the Lord thy God, and shall be obedient unto his voice. Again, what is there? Turning to him. That's repentance. You turn to him. That's repentance. God forgives. God is love. And you should be obedient unto his voice. He said, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers which he sware unto them. So does that give us, knowing God is such a God of love, does that give us then a liberty to backslide? To keep sliding? Because God is merciful. All I have to do is repent and it's over. I've been forgiven. Is that what we say to ourselves? Do we ever think, I'll do it later? All we're doing is confirming to ourselves that something or someone has replaced God on the throne of my heart. You want to die like that? How will you be reconciled? How? And that's why the word is so precious to us, to read it, to be reminded, to be instructed, and to be reminded of the mercy of our God. The Lord thy God is a merciful God. If from whence thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If to seek him with all your heart and with all thy soul. Dear ones, it's my prayer tonight for all of us that we would really consider, are there graven images? Have we corrupted ourselves with anything? Anything. The world is so full of pollution, of sin. If we've corrupted ourselves by being disobedient, I could corrupt myself through my anger towards you. I could be so clean in everything. I could be clean as a whistle, doing everything how I'm supposed to. But if I have anger that flares up and just keeps coming, I'm disobedient. There's someone else that is greater than God to me, and that's myself. My pride. I don't want to be belittled by you. I'm going to come back at you and so on. So we have to think, what is it? Anything. Any obedience that has caused us to slip, we must turn around and come back. No one wants to die separated from God. No one wants to die on a steep slope that he slid down from, where God is here and I'm here, and expect mercy. Mercy is given to the one who repents. When Jesus said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do, he didn't mean forgive them in their sin, just forgive them. Let the word penetrate. Let them see who they crucified, because they don't know. And let that bring them to repentance so that forgiveness could take place. Same thing as Stephen being stoned. Forgive them. Don't lay this against them. Saul, who was watching that, he had to repent in order to be forgiven. The prayer from Stephen didn't bring forgiveness to Saul on that moment. He had to repent. And so we also are not exempt. Why would we think we're exempt from repentance once we've converted? If we've backslidden, we have to come back. Our God is a God of mercy. And to think that we would corrupt ourselves after he has shed his precious blood to cleanse us and make us as white as snow. Are we going to allow disobedience to be corrupted by those things? And then when the time of tribulation comes, Lord, help me. Go to those things that were so dear to you. Go to those things. Find your comfort there. Who can give that to you? Who? No one. It's only him. And so it's a moment for us to reflect upon this evening, dear ones. Where are we? Can we truly say, I am there? I am at my first love. Or can we say, I've backslidden? Well, you know, and I know where that is. We know where we've corrupted ourselves. And we know from there that if we look to him and seek him with all our heart, we will find him. And that's my prayer for each of us this evening. Amen.
Dear ones, when we read Old Testament, doesn't take much to realize how much children of Israel would benefit from God's goodness and his love for them. Forgetting about that and go astray, go serve other gods, get through trouble, come back, and so many times in circles. And I believe human nature is to forget about God's mercy and God's grace and God's love when there are good times, when things are going smooth, when my things in my life are going to according to the plan. I don't need a statue of Buddha in my living room to be called a idolater. Brother mentioned, if we worship anything less than God, and that's absolutely everything, if we put it in the first place, that's why it's good to be reminded, dear ones. That's why we come to the house of the Lord, to listen to the living word, to be reminded, because I know I can say that there are so many times I just go astray. I cannot say with confidence that God is my number one, at least not with my deeds. But this is why we have to be intentional.
So, verse 29 and 30 says, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, if you go astray and you come to seek Lord thy God, thou shalt find him if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. When thou art in tribulation and all these things are come unto thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shall be obedient unto his voice. It doesn't suggest that we try. It doesn't suggest that we try. But we seek him back with all our hearts. Joshua. He was talking to children of Israel when they went astray. In verse 15, he says, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods with which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwelt. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It doesn't say we will try to serve the Lord.
We cannot say, we cannot try, we cannot afford to try. Because if you try, that's not giving our whole heart. That's not loving our God with all our hearts and all our whole soul. Joshua was ready to serve his Lord, him and his house. If we have, whether it was that brothers and sisters, whether it was friends who didn't choose to have God in the first place in their lives, you obviously have something else that is more important than God. We heard about our pride. We heard about our relationships. We heard about we don't have to name everything. We can just say anything that is more important than God. But today, he's asking us to make a choice. Whom will I serve? Who will be more important? What will be more important than my Creator and my God? May the Lord give us grace to each and every one of us to ask these things ourselves, to be reminded, to be refreshed, to be admonished. That we would repent today, that we would make that choice today. May the Lord bless these words upon our hearts. Amen.